You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, what do your dreams really mean? And can you harness your sleep time ideas to do great things? An expert will tell you how. Plus, your texting skills could be lowering the boom on your love life. And there are so many people in the next Sharknado movie, I bet you're in it. But the latest addition to the cast will make Germany very, very happy. Let's meet the friends. Ready to donate her organs for science. Just not now. It's Erin Myers.
Yes, maybe one day. But somebody who's already, you know, removing organs a lot lately. Well, Angelina Jolie, she's had another surgery for cancer prevention. But is it too much? We'll discuss.
Wearing his wrinkled Pendleton so he can brood in style, it's Chris Martin.
A new documentary of a deceased rock star could prove to be one of the biggest biographies ever released.
Okay. I have an idea who that might be about. Let's get things rolling. Telling you, first of all, that this program is sponsored this hour by NHL Game Center Live. Sign up, watch hockey, live or on demand. On your favorite device, never miss a slap shot, check, or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles and multi-game views, and watch every out-of-market game live on your device for less. Plus, when you get started with NHL Game Center Live for the lowest price all season long right now, you actually support this show, and we thank you for that. Head over to PhilHewlettAndFriends.com right now and click on the NHL Game Center Live link. You'll see it at the top right of the website. Thank you very much. Hockey season winding down to the postseason. It's getting very exciting.
Yeah, everybody's fighting right now.
Yeah.
See who's going to make it.
Real close. All right, so let's get things rolling, first of all, with you, Erin. And Angie, no, don't cut out any more of your body, please. What is she doing?
Well, she's trying to cut her cancer risk. And we know a couple years ago that she underwent that double mastectomy. Well, now, on Tuesday, she wrote a piece in the New York Times, and it said she has recently had her ovaries and her fallopian tubes removed as well because she carries this gene that increases the risk for both of those cancers, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and her mom died from it, ovarian cancer. So she's just trying to, you know, have that not happen to her. So,
is this a behavior that the American Cancer Society and oncologists around the country endorse?
It sounds like with her situation, her doctors did tell her, you know, you need to think about this and, you know, go see somebody because she has, you know, high percentages. I guess when she had her double mastectomy, she said she went from like a 85 or 87% chance of cancer down to 5%. Hmm. So she had a high risk. And she does say, though, she says, it might not be for everyone, so make your own decisions and talk to your doctor. And she said
right,
there were different things that made her do this.
I imagine as a superstar of the silver screen and perhaps humanitarian efforts that she's put in and even talking about running for office, that sort of thing, that she is influential. And in women around the country, perhaps around the world, will see what she does and to be influenced by that. So that's a good little disclaimer she gave out there. Talk to your doctor first. Talk to several doctors.
Yes, make sure it's the right thing for you because it's not the same situation for everybody. You might have this gene or you might have, be more likely or have it a family history, but it might not be worth it depending on your risk level based on the factors that they see. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, and your personal beliefs, you know, whether or not you choose to fight it a different way.
And yeah, and she does. I mean, her mom, her grandma, I think an aunt, they all had cancer. So
yeah, she was a high-risk patient for sure.
Yeah, all right. Now, when you go in for that surgery, the chances are getting better and better that the doctor will be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
But would it be an evil robot?
Well, that's what a lot of these high-tech geniuses think. Steve Wozniak from Apple, he's now on board saying that the robot apocalypse is brewing.
Oh,
and that one day, yes, robots will take over the world. And he's not the only one who thinks that. There's, you know, Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking have all said stuff about, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, making us non-existent at some point, or at least ruling the world.
I mean, if you just follow the timeline, once the robots get an understanding of, you know, their own, what is it? They start thinking for themselves, right?
Yeah. There's some idea that they may somehow develop consciousness, which is
and self-awareness.
Kind of outlandish.
Once they have the self-awareness, which all these smart guys say they will in a matter of who knows how long,
he
10 years,
decades.
Right?
He says decades, yeah. He says decades. That's what Wozniak says.
I mean, how long would it be before they would just say, all right, robot friends, let's enslave these humans? We can do it.
That's all under the assumption that we don't, as humans, change our evil ways. Let's project 20 years into the future and assume that we've learned from our previous experiences and we're not really warring and we're not tearing each other apart. Then the robots won't see anything wrong with us, right?
Well,
they're not going to see a reason to stop us from hurting
ourselves. That's a little Pollyanna.
Yeah.
The robots,
I'm a Pollyanna kind of
the
guy.
The robots may not care at all what we're doing.
No,
it would just be in their best interest to be in charge.
You silly humans. Yes.
I'm worried about whether you're going to be good or not. We don't care. We just want we need you to build things for us now.
Yeah, we'll switch roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope our robots don't have the predilection to become evil.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible. They're robots.
I mean, look how annoying we are. I mean, it might be more efficient and pragmatic for robots to just get rid of us.
Right. Yeah. You don't entertain me anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
You're not as smart as we are.
Right.
Yikes. And we're only getting smarter. All right.
At least put muzzles on us.
Great. Yeah. All right. And then look what we're doing. I mean, we still have the ability. I don't see that robots will have this ability necessarily to spontaneously create enduring artwork, things that will last forever, that we can go back and revisit and watch over and over again.
That's true.
And just things that bring absolute joy, like the Sharknado movies.
Well, robots might actually come take over us sooner if we keep making Sharknado movies, but apparently the third one is on its way, and it has some pretty big stars in it this time. David Hasselhoff is joining.
Really?
He's going to play Ian Ziering's dad, and you know he's the one who starred in all of the movies and saves the world from the Sharknado. So now he's participating, and he says it will be the worst movie you've ever seen, pretty much.
Yeah.
But he said it was really fun to film. There's all sorts of like wrestlers,
Michelle Bachman
is in it. Yeah, there's quite a few.
I didn't know she was an actress.
She is now, but I think on Sharknado it doesn't really matter if you can act or not.
Right.
I think she'll be like the first one who gets eaten by the flying shark.
Yeah,
that's what
you
I'm
know,
guessing.
See, I've always wanted to be in a movie and just be the guy that gets shot or killed or sliced up or whatever so that I could die in a movie. I mean, that would be fun. So now are people saying, I want to get eaten by a shark in Sharknado?
I think that's like the new thing.
You should have contacted him, Phil. Because I think they might have jumped at that opportunity to have you eaten by a shark.
Maybe it's not too late.
Yeah. This is like the worst movie everybody has to see, and I have a feeling that these guys have to be getting paid pretty well, these celebrities.
Now. I mean, they keep doing them, so they're obviously making some money because they're all embarrassed by them.
A quick payday to just go get chomped down by a flying shark.
Yeah.
Carried in by a tornado.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
I will never look at the ocean the same again when it gets windy out.
Well, no, you don't have to worry about the sharks underneath the water anymore.
No, they're the ones that
that's where they come from?
Chicago and Washington, D.C.
They get sucked up in a funnel cloud? Is that what it is? I haven't seen a single Sharknado movie
yet. Oh, you're missing out. I'm telling you.
Am I?
The first one, when he like gets eaten and then hacks his way out of the shark's belly. I mean, that's just classic movie
making. I'm still trying
to
resolve in my head whether it's Ian or Ian Ziering.
I go with Ian.
Yeah?
I think.
Yeah, I can't figure out whether it's Tara or Tara.
I go with Tara.
Yeah?
Is it Reed or Ride?
Reed.
Well, it depends. Well... It really does. Not in this movie, though. Although, I don't know. Is it a sexy movie, too?
Yes, I don't know. Is there? Is there any nudity or graphic scenes in it, Aaron?
I don't recall that too much. It's more like, a shark.
It should be. Based on the plot of the movie, there should be plenty of that mixed in, plenty of graphic scenes mixed in.
I don't know if people could take it. That much excitement in one film?
You know what? I mean, what does it say about our society that this movie is doing so well?
We love terrible movies.
Yeah, I guess
everybody loves a terrible movie.
I guess so.
Our IQs might be going down.
But there is a movie coming, and it's a documentary. And I'm thinking this might be one of the biggest documentaries ever in terms of interest and how many people watch it. And if you were a fan of a certain kind of music in the 80s, there is a seminal figure, an iconic figure from a particular music scene. The subject of this documentary that I think we've already seen, people are really interested in seeing this, and it could be huge box office as well. And Chris is going to tell you who the movie's about and what it's about, and that's all next right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
There's nothing like the beautiful smell of a candle. Find the finest handmade candles at theolivetreecandles.com. You will love the wide variety of soy candles and bath and body items at the Olive Tree Candles. Our candles are also hypoallergenic, so you can rest assured that you can enjoy burning a candle without having an asthma attack. Every time you purchase a candle from the Olive Tree Candles, 10% of the proceeds go to feeding, clothing, and helping integrate the homeless back into society. Visit theolivetreecandles.com.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Chris are both here. And Chris, the grunge music scene in the 1980s was huge. I mean, it was everywhere. And kids everywhere were wearing Pendletons, and they weren't brushing their hair. They weren't ironing their clothing, and they were rarely looking up, usually looking at their feet as they walked around. That was the hallmark of the grunge scene, right?
You had looking to just, grungy.
You just had to look like, you know.
You just pulled clothes out of your dirty laundry pile.
Yeah.
You threw them on. You forgot to button a couple of the buttons.
And there was no hope, and the only thing you can do is rage against the man by going to a grunge concert somewhere where everybody just screaming and playing three chords, and it was noisy fun.
And never wash your hair. That's one of the rules of grunge.
But yeah. Now, which was the biggest band out of the grunge scene?
Well, Phil, it's Nirvana, hands down.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you had a few of them. You know, I think Smashing Pumpkins was around at the same time. And these guys, too, purist rock and rollers were not very pleased when these grunge bands first came out. You know,
yeah.
If you liked Guns N' Roses and Poison and Motley Crue and all that, the purists looked at these grunge bands as ruining the genre.
Pearl Jam? Yeah.
Well, Pearl Jam, you put in that group with Nirvana, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. Smashing Pumpkins, I don't know. Are they a grunge band?
I think it's just that same era, that same sort of mid-80s to early 90s.
You know what?
The
dude from that big, enormous, freakish-looking guy who's the singer for that band.
Yeah, Billy Corgan.
Yeah, he came out this week and he said, "Don't call me Billy anymore."
What does he want to be called?
I'm a 48-year-old man.
William?
Call me William, yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought he was going to say Bill.
He's not a 9-year-old kid on a tricycle anymore. He's, you know, he's not
L-Y.
Billy. He's a William. Mm-hmm. He wants to be William. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but it just seems too proper.
Yeah.
William.
There's nothing grunge about that.
I'm going to call him Willie when I see him.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never thought of that group as grunge. Anyway, but Pearl Jam and Nirvana for sure, and maybe Soundgarden and a couple of the other. It seems like a lot of those groups, they would get together and they would form third and fourth groups and just for fun and sing other.
Yeah, there was a tangled mess there between these bands, too. I mean, even Kurt Cobain's ex-wife, she was dating Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, tangled web.
It is a tangled web. So now, here's the thing.
Oh, we had a reason for bringing this up.
There's a point to this.
There is a point to this story. So there is a documentary coming out on Kurt Cobain. It's called Montage of Heck. And if you didn't catch it at Sundance, where it got rave reviews, you don't have to worry because it's set for theatrical release in 72 countries around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to release.
Including here
in the United States. Yeah, it's going to release beginning April 10th, and the rollout will reach the entire world within 90 days. Not only because of how many theaters they're releasing it in, but also because HBO has bought the rights to the documentary, and they're going to be playing it regularly. And HBO doesn't really buy anything that's not good or put anything on their programs that
they
aren't
like
very good.
They like to make stuff their own, too.
Yeah,
like,
don't
buy a lot from other people. I mean, they like to help, it seems like, be
yeah,
a
which
part
shows
of
you something
mm-hmm.
about it, too. It might be something real good if HBO looks outside of their own production mm-hmm. company and says, yeah, you know what? You guys put together some good work. We want to air it.
Yeah, well. You think it's going to be a good? I mean, it's going to be popular for sure. But do you think it'll land on a bunch of lists of one of the best rockumentaries ever?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that. The fact that they're releasing it in theaters makes it eligible for Academy Award consideration. Now, who knows whether they'll get there or not? But the other thing is I've seen the trailer.
Yeah,
and I'm sure several of you out there have. It looks dark to me. So. Whatever your flavor is for film watching or documentaries.
Document.
We'll call it that.
Documentary.
Then you know that's gonna depend. That's gonna what's gonna make the difference, because if people go in there and they really don't like to see somebody struggling or having a dark time around their family, they might not dig it.
Oh look, there it is. Mm. It's on our show fun page. You can watch it, and it's ready to go. All right.
And people are still fascinated by him and his story. So all these years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Very good. I'm going to watch it for sure. That's the kind of thing I'd like to see. All right. Hey, they're in the dating scene, and later this hour, we're going to talk about the whole dating scene.
Yay!
Because, yeah, because Aaron can use some help. But see, here's what's difficult for men. Women baffle us.
We're so not baffling.
You don't think so?
No.
A new study found that the top 10 things that women are baffling, or the Uh-oh. Things that baffle men about Uh-oh. Women. And you'll be happy to know, everything stand-up comedians joked about in 1992 still holds true today. Apparently, the big cliches are still going strong. And here are the top 10 things now about women that baffle men. First of all, their mood swings.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Stop talking to me.
I know. Leave me alone.
How shopping becomes a whole social event.
It's fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Just, you know what you want to buy, Aaron? Go in the store, pick it up, buy it, and leave.
That's becoming less of a thing, I think. I like to online shop. I don't like to go shopping with girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that.
Yeah. All right. The time it takes to get ready.
Not even true.
Really?
Mm-mm.
How long does it take you?
I have it down to a science. Even on days where I have to get completely ready, hair and makeup, I can do it in 30 minutes, and that includes a shower and blow drying my hair. So
wow.
Take that.
That's only 4 times longer than it takes a guy.
Yeah,
but
that's
30
true.
Minutes for a girl is pretty good.
It
if
is,
I'm,
because
like,
I think...
Looking like this today, that took me like 2 minutes.
Okay, well,
wow.
See, you're naturally beautiful.
That's a good 2 minutes.
But there are a lot of ladies in the two-hour zone.
But they don't need to be. I think that's just being slow pokes.
Yeah,
that's how I look at that.
Yeah, all right. Their ability to hold grudges.
Mm-hmm. Even a woman never forgets.
Yeah,
you don't forget.
All right.
We can forgive.
No, it's like what happened 5 minutes ago?
I don't even remember.
Me neither. That's why it's not important. That's the old salesman trick. You know, you stick your biggest problems on a piece of paper in a drawer on Wednesday, and then you look at it again next Wednesday and see how important they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, right. How they remember every single thing you've ever said.
Right.
I don't remember what I just said. What was number 4? This is number 5. I forgot number 4 already. Why they think you're a mind reader. Oh, see, that's a big one. Why not? Yeah.
You should just know these things. That's how girls... Yeah.
Just say it.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want to go shopping with me? And then
you
just go, where do you go with this one? Because if I say yes... Then I have to go shopping, for one.
Well.
And if I say no, she's going to be offended. Maybe she wants a day out to herself.
No. It's more like, how come you didn't know I wanted to go shopping?
Yeah.
And there's no audible cue for you to know that.
Yeah. Or how come you didn't know I wanted to go shopping by myself today? And would have rather hear you say, nah, forget it. I'll just stay home. You have fun.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Sheesh. Right. And why they say, this is number 7, I don't have anything to wear.
That's so true.
When they're in front of a full closet.
That's true, though.
Yeah.
I know this game.
Their obsession with shoes. Now, I don't think that's every lady, right? And why they have so much stuff in their purse.
You never know when there is an emergency.
And why their haircuts cost so much money.
That I don't know, and I think it makes me upset, actually. That one I do not like. It's
not there was
fair.
A period of time when my daughter was modeling.
Yeah.
And her agency, one of the big ones... got her a half-price discount with a haircutting guy. You know how much her half-price haircut cost?
$200.
$425.
Jeez. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's a good haircut. But, you know, it grows out in like a day, right?
Yeah, it grows quick. That, you have to... It's hard to find a good price for a haircut or color or anything for women nowadays.
Yeah.
You know the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut?
What's that?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
It does grow out, yes.
It grows out.
And all girls will cry if they get a bad haircut. I've done that many times.
God.
You look in
now,
the mirror.
Would you cry more or less if your bad haircut cost $425?
Oh, I would cry and then probably throw a tantrum while I was still there.
Gosh,
you
I don't
ruined
understand
it.
Grown women throwing tantrums.
Yes.
I don't understand that. It baffles me. All right. Now, women, generally speaking, when they give birth to babies, there's one.
most of the time.
Okay. It's somewhat rare that you get two. It's rarer still, three. It's incredibly rare to have four.
Yes.
And we're not the only mammals who where that story rings true. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Apparently for cows. Yes, cows.
Who are you calling a cow?
Oh, I can't mind read. Didn't know it hurt your feelings. No, a cow in northeast Texas apparently defied the odds, and she gave birth to four little baby cows.
Wow. Cows typically give birth to one.
One, maybe two. Four is very unusual, and because it is so unusual, they're going to do DNA tests to prove they all came from the same mama cow.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very cute, and they're teeny tiny. Apparently, normally a cow is 75 pounds. The smallest one of these is 25. So they're teeny tiny little baby cows, and I want one.
Wow, that's cute.
And they have cute names. Eeny, meeny, miny, and moo.
Oh, exclamation point.
I would have thought filet mignon, T-bone.
No.
Those are cute names, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I like those ones.
Yeah.
Veal chop.
Mm-hmm. Burger.
Just kidding. Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Kobe. Oh.
Yeah.
That actually is a cute name, but it doesn't make sense, yes, with a cow.
Hey, you know, when you're receiving a text from somebody and their grammar and their spelling is just absolutely awful, I mean, I'm not talking about simple predictive text errors, but just... no grasp at all. And in text, you get that picture of the other person as somebody who speaks English, went to school here, and should have had his or her act together. But they really suck at it. Now, imagine you're considering going out on a date with this person who's awful at texting. Are bad texts non-starters for you? We'll speak with a regular Fox News Magazine contributor who is an expert on this matter right here. And she's not going to text us. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Welcome back to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. You picked a good time for sure, because in a recent survey done by Match.com, men and women revealed their biggest texting turnoffs when it comes to dating. And God forbid, if you are single and looking for love and you can't spell your way out of a paper bag, you could be dramatically lowering the pool of potential partners. And you may not even know that. So it's self-awareness time. Put that emoji down right now, please. Joining us now is a relationship reporter who covers it all. Sex, love, dating, marriage, and even more. What else is there? She's a regular Fox News Magazine contributor. Her website is ashleypapa.com. And conveniently enough, her name is Ashley Papa, and she joins us now. Boy, it's great when it works out that way, when your name and your website are exactly the same. You just add a .com. Isn't it so simple that way, Ashley?
Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, of course it is. Mine works that way, too. Now, it's an interesting thing to consider these days with digital dating. You put your best foot, or your worst foot, as it were, forward with your texting skills. And if you're awful at it, you may never get to try out your verbal skills on a potential date. Am I right?
You're absolutely right, because there are so many things that girls and guys are turned off about when it comes to texting. They don't like bad grammar. They don't like caps. They don't like being texted at certain times of the day. So if you're, you know, a person who likes to text all day long and the other person doesn't like to text at all, then you're right off the bat just messing things up for you.
Yeah, the caps thing, I mean, that drives me crazy. I mean, didn't we learn back in the 90s that all uppercase in text means that you're yelling? I mean, I don't want to be yelled at.
Right. No, exactly. But then what happens is sometimes, and happens to me, like something's wrong with your phone and I can't turn the caps off, and I accidentally sent a all caps message to someone when I really don't mean to. So the other person on the other end might think I'm yelling at them when I really can't figure out my phone. So there's just, you know, there leaves too much open for interpretation when it comes to text messaging.
Yeah, and it's interesting because very often this is your first impression of somebody. And so let's roll it back just a little bit. I want to make sure what some of the biggest turnoffs are. And are they different for men and for women?
Yeah, so guys don't like to be texted while they're at work. They don't like bad grammar. And they also don't like all caps. That's actually shared between both men and women. Women don't like bad grammar. They don't like short messages. And, so it's pretty much the same on both ends. And the thing about bad grammar is it could make this person look stupid. So, I mean, you don't want to come across as an idiot.
Yeah, that whole the thing with the guys not being texted at work. Right. I mean, that snowballs into a different issue altogether, because the lady will send a text to the guy when he's at work, and he's not going to reply to it until he gets off work. And the entire time, the lady's getting upset, and she's sending more and more texts. And why won't you reply? Are you with her again?
That could go both ways, I'm sure, too, right?
Yeah.
There's jealous dudes out there.
And then he clocks out at 5 o'clock, and finally, rather than texting back, he calls, and he says, "What the hell are you doing texting me at work? I told you not to text me at work. What's the matter with you?" And then it's a whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, because sometimes you have people who expect a response right away. They might think, well, their phone is always on them. They should be able to respond. And then if they're not, all these things come to their mind, and they're causing stress for themselves because they're thinking they're with somebody else. They're mad at the other person. Just all these things come to mind that aren't even true.
Right. And I don't know if there's anything to do about this at this stage of the game. I mean, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, right? If our third grade teacher couldn't lead us to the grammar well, it's probably too late, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, a lot of it is out of laziness. Somebody, maybe you don't want to go back and change the T-H-E-I-R to they are.
Right.
I mean, a lot of it is.
Yeah, but isn't text messaging a short-form way of talking to somebody anyway? The whole point of it is to sort of shortcut your way through a conversation and maybe not use all the letters and all the punctuation necessary?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, and I think that texting shouldn't be used to have full-on conversations. Like, anything you need to scroll through should be saved for on phone or in person. And the use of text messaging to send short messages, to set up a time to meet the person, to actually talk in person, and even just a little like, hi, how are you, thinking about you, those little things are okay.
But then you got to be careful, though, because sometimes you give a one-word answer or two-word answer to somebody's question, that could upset them too, right?
Yeah, you come across as flippant.
Like the dreaded K.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so K. So... what's the appropriate use for text in a dating scenario? I mean, really. I mean, once we get the self-awareness to know that our texting skills are a big turnoff, should we just dump the texting altogether and go back to the old school and start talking to people?
I think it depends on the couple. You know, if they like to text message, if they have good texting compatibility, then they can make it work. If they want to text throughout the day, or they feel like they don't need to do all the texting anymore, they can just talk at night when they see each other. So I guess it depends on the stage of the relationship as well.
Yeah.
What about asking somebody out for the first time by text? I've heard that happens a lot nowadays. Like,
good
somebody
question.
Gets your number, and then instead of calling and say, "Hey, I'd like you to meet for coffee," they text you and say, "Hey, let's meet for coffee." That seems very impersonal.
It is, and a lot of women prefer to be asked out verbally, because the text, being asked out via text, is very passive aggressive. You're like that shield where, okay, if she says no, at least I'm not face to face with her and I look like an idiot. So,
seems lazy too.
Great laziness.
Yeah.
Kind of a turn off.
Now, what if you ask somebody out on a date in a text message and you fill it with emojis?
Ooh.
Does that raise your chances?
It depends on the emojis that are sent with it.
Kissy face, kissy face.
What if you're asking out a high school kid? Then you use a lot of emojis and it raises your chances. No, never mind. That's not what I meant to say, but just the same. I mean, we're talking about emojis are for little kids, right?
I like them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Just for my friends.
People who are hit or miss on them. I'm all for the little smiley faces. I don't care. But
what about if I put
other random ones? I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like a cat and then a pile of poo after it.
Right.
Well, that's just gross.
The pile of poo emoji. You haven't seen that?
I have seen it, and it doesn't really seem to have a good purpose.
Well,
yeah.
It's a look. There's a pile of poo. That's about the purpose.
What does that say about me?
That's about the long and the short of it. Ashley Papa. .com is the website. I want you to go check it out. And Ashley spelled A-S-H-L-E-Y and Papa, just the way you would think it was spelled. And it's wonderful to speak with you. I'll send you a text later.
Thank you. I'll look forward to it.
Listen how impressed she is. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashley. Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess I won't be sending her a text later.
I'm going to say that was rejection.
Was
what we just heard right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
see,
will
that's,
get no text response.
Her response there to me was the reason we text.
Yeah.
Because that was shattering to my ego to hear the way she sounded. Mm-hmm. So, fine, send me a text.
Oh, great. I really Can't wait to receive that, Phil.
Man. All right. Well, one real quick thing. You know how they have dream jobs out there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the best job in the world, but just the same, it's just opened up. A company in Germany is looking to hire a brothel tester.
Wow.
You get paid to visit their legal brothels in Germany, China, and Spain and have sex with prostitutes. And then report back on things like value and cleanliness. And you have to be able to speak German to get the job. And you also have to, quote, have practical experience with many years of brothel visits.
Didn't the guy from Dirty Jobs do an episode on this?
Did he?
Really?
No, I was going to say,
that doesn't seem his
style. It's a joke.
That was a joke?
Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, I sure
imagine
didn't.
That's
that
like
went
the home repair network.
Yeah, had you texted it to me, I
would have gotten it. He does some dirty things, and that could be, considered dirty.
Is it dirty?
In a different way.
All right.
Maybe.
Talk dirty. Hey, while you're sleeping around. No, while you're sleeping. You have dreams, and you got to love your dreams, right? Not the nightmares so much, but wonderful things happen in your dreams, don't they? It's just a wonderful place, your dream life. So you come up with songs, you invent things, you fly simply by flapping your arms or kicking your feet. I'm a kicking my feet flyer. Are you an arm flapper flyer? Do you fly?
Have I don't
flying
fly. I
no,
fall.
I'm like Superman fly.
You don't have flying dreams?
No, I have dreams where I've fallen, I've been stabbed in the back, and when I can do never-ending backflips down
those
the street.
Those are called nightmares.
Anxiety dreams.
Apparently. Oh.
Well, what if you could capture some of what you come up with in your dream life and put it into action in your waking life? The positive things, not the anxiety part. Sounds like a tall order to me, but maybe not so much. According to our next guest, who I think you will find fascinating, and she'll address your anxiety dreams there, Aaron, right here on the program when we return on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for listening. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. And if you or your friends have a business with a product or a service and you want to advertise it to our vast audience, our ever-growing audience, there's a little Advertise With Us page at philhewlettandfriends.com. I want you to go check it out and see how you could get in. Get in for cheap to start. Just be part of the fun. And then when people start ringing up your phone and or your website and buy your stuff, you'll be happy. You could thank me later or not. We'll just be pleased that you're involved. So go over there, fill out a form, and one of the professionals from this company will. Do we have a company?
We don't have a professional?
No, we don't have professionals, nor do we have a company. No, but we're willing to help, and we're here. Joining us live now and willing to help you, because we all dream, right? I mean, dreams are just a spectacular thing. I can't understand what my brain is doing. What is your brain doing when you're sleeping? I mean, coming up with all these weird things.
It's crazy.
The founder and director of the Institute for Dream Studies, a recognized program that promotes the understanding and value of dreams to help people claim their uniqueness and full potential. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? And our guest is the creator of something called Dream Synergy. It's a trademarked item. It's a comprehensive process with proven results for uncovering dream meaning and leading you to personal transformation. She's the author of several books on dreams, including Honoring the Dream, a handbook for dream group leaders, In My Dream, a creative dream journal, and her latest book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. Justina Lasley. Is that how you say
Lastly.
It? Lastly.
Justina Lastly.
Justina Lastly. Okay, well, welcome to the program. Our brains, they're so I can't even understand my brain, but it unlocks some pretty good stuff while I'm sleeping. And if I could only follow up on some of those concepts, I'd be doing all right, I would think. Is that basically the way you look at things?
Yes, Phil, and thank you for having me today. I think of our dreams as the most creative part of ourselves. It's amazing how we can take our waking life and transfer it into this metaphorical, symbolic, rich language that shows our past, our present, and how we might live in the future. Yeah, it's bizarre when we wake up with these images.
Yeah, and you just try your best to remember it. But do dreams have a hard and fast meaning? I mean, if I say I dreamt I had a fight with a tiger, you tell me exactly what that means. And it means the same thing for the other guy who dreamt of fighting a tiger, too. Or
that is not my belief at all. I think dreams are very personal, and you're having a fight with a tiger might have a fully different meaning than my having a fight with a tiger. Perhaps you've had a tiger in your background, something, you know, an experience of seeing one and a memorable time in your life. And so it actually might be a good experience for you, where I might be terrified of tigers. And so it would have a different experience for me, a different meaning. So what I say when people ask me if I can interpret their dreams, I say, I can help you come to an understanding of what your dreams mean, but I will not tell you what your dream means.
I think it's interesting that we keyed in on the tiger there and thought of it in a literal sense, as opposed to maybe the tiger was a metaphor for something else.
Yes, it would be a metaphor, because dreams are going to speak in a metaphorical, symbolic language, and the tiger is going to represent some aspect of our personality, actually a characteristic of the person dreaming it.
So how then do we use our dreams for personal growth and to reach our potential while we're awake?
Well, dreams are really like our 24/7 inner therapist, a free, you know, guide for our life. So with the thousands of people that I've worked with, I have never worked with a dream that didn't have significant meaning for that person. So it sort of shows us and guides us from the way things have been in the past. So maybe there's a part of our childhood in the dream. The way we're dealing with situations now, whether it's relationships, work, health, any of finances, any of those things, and then the dream will actually show us a better way of doing it. So it wants to guide us to be more, to reach our full potential.
When you are talking with the thousands of people that have their dreams, I imagine there are a percentage of people, because we were talking before you came on with us, amongst ourselves, and there's always somebody in the room who, when you talk about dreams, they're not particularly thrilled about their dreams. It's not necessarily a good thing. I'm not saying that they have nightmares all the time, but they're just not, you know what I mean? I mean, Aaron, if you don't mind me saying so, you had that kind of a response when we were talking about the dreams where, okay, you've got to go back. And what was the dream that you have all the time?
I have one where I was doing backflips down a street nonstop and couldn't stop, and then one where I'm falling, and one where I get stabbed in the back.
And then we talked.
They happen multiple times.
And we talked about flying dreams, and I said, okay, are you a flapping your arms flyer or a kicking your legs flyer? And she never, Chris has flying dreams all the time. Yeah. I have them too, but she doesn't have flying dreams. And so it's an interesting thing that maybe dream life isn't something that everybody finds dreamy.
Well, I think once they understand what a gift it is and how that could be symbolic, recurring dreams too, you mentioned, recurring dreams and nightmares are two very important types of dreams, because they are coming back again and again to wake us up. And by the time it becomes a full-fledged nightmare with that waking with heart pounding and, you know, all the emotions along with it, we should really be paying attention, because this message has been coming to us for quite a while by the time it gets to be a nightmare. It's always important. Doing backflips down the street. You know, if y'all want to call me off the air, I'll talk to you about that. I don't want to put you on the spot with
uh-oh.
That. No, but that kind of thing, everything will have a meaning, and it always guides us to that being better. Dreams have just made such an impact on my life. And in my book, Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True, I tell a lot and share dreams that have impacted my relationships, my career, my health, you know, with diagnosing, even lupus, through my dreams and helping heal that process, you know, the health of my body. It's amazing what gift we are sleeping through.
How inspirational. Speaking with Justina, lastly, and Chris here has a question for you, Justina.
Hi, Justina.
Okay.
I've had a couple of dreams where I realized I was dreaming, and then I became riveted with the fact of sort of looking around and seeing what I saw while I was dreaming, and it's known as lucid dreaming. A lot of people find it an appealing subject. What do you think about it?
I'm actually, we recently taped a new program that will be offered online that combines lucid dreaming with the type of dream work I do. Because often people with lucid dreaming, for those who don't know what it is waking up enough to be aware in a dream that we are dreaming. So when people just use it for fun and games, it doesn't really get the impact that it can if we see that we have the opportunity to learn more about ourselves in that lucid state. So we are more conscious of what's going on in the dream, and we can ask questions about what's going on in the dream and find out, you know, more about how we operate and what is it that's keeping us from making improvements in our life. We can do the same with a lot of dream work and the questions and exercises that I suggest people do through Dream Synergy. But this lucid dreaming definitely helps. We were talking about what's going on in my brain. It helps us understand and study more about what is going on in the brain and how we can move into our conscious awareness.
Just a quick question. Give me about a 20-second answer if you can. What's the best way to capture your dream so that you remember it?
Write it down. Be ready during the night. Have paper and pencil by your bed, and don't try to talk yourself into the fact that you will remember it in the morning. You probably won't.
Justina Losley, thank you very much. Wake Up, Use Your Nighttime Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. The book's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you very much for being on the program. Have a good night's sleep. Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. So much more to come, including something you grew up playing with is selling for huge bucks on eBay, but you have to be a good writer to attract a buyer who's going to spend way too much. And it might be time to start sifting through your poop. We'll explain in the next hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, traveling to the Northwest, what to see and what to avoid like the plague, our travel guy joins us from the road. Plus, you need to get in on this eBay scam right now. Be ready to check your attic for a particular type of old toy. And be ready to cash in. The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. My goodness. I'm thinking about cashing in. I got a whole bunch of toys. You think my daughters would be upset if I started selling all their toys on eBay?
No, just a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, giving away your children's memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one memory that my children have, and three daughters, of course, and I've got all the photos to prove it, with these absolute losers in tuxedos, is their proms, right? They went to proms, and they have absolutely no attachment to these guys now. It's just like they've got to go to the prom, and some guy asked, okay, fine, you vaguely qualify, let's go.
You need a date.
Yeah, right. So so the girl's got to go to the prom. I don't think the guys necessarily care so much, but it's a memory that you want to try to hold on to.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal in high school, isn't it?
It is a big deal.
Especially for the girls.
Yes, and the dress is a big deal. I remember when I was prom shopping with my mom and grandma, and it was so important to find the perfect dress. And, you know, that's still the same today, but apparently some schools are making it more difficult. In Pennsylvania, a Catholic high school, they announced a new policy requiring girls to submit photographs of their dresses for pre-approval before prom.
Whoa, what?
Yes.
Do they have to be wearing it?
It doesn't say they have to wear it, but they say they have a new policy that says dresses cannot be too short, too low cut, expose too much skin around the midriff, or be inappropriately revealing. And it also says that guests must dress in gender-specific formal wear.
Oh.
So they're being very strict, and proms May 1st.
In other words, they don't want the young ladies showing up in a tuxedo.
Yes, and, you know, vice versa.
Oh.
But is this an attack of the no-fun police?
Apparently. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I definitely you see people wear things that are a little bit inappropriate for high school, so I understand, but photographs?
Is there an unwritten rule? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's evolved over time, but does it not seem like the prom is a way for teenagers to actually... I mean, is the expectation there that they're going to have sex at the end of the night?
No.
No.
Maybe make out.
I think, yeah, no.
Are kids still getting hotel rooms, like hotel parties? Like they go three, four couples, they go in on a hotel room, that
sort
of thing?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know, yeah.
The rich kids are.
Maybe.
They're flying in a helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, over to their limo, to the limousine service. They pick up the Hummer limo.
Yeah, yeah.
Pack about 12 of them in the limo.
And they drop them off at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the fun begins.
Yeah.
After the party.
They grow up too fast these days.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that doesn't happen, but I'm willing to believe that that's the minority.
Okay, so it's not the prom night's not sex night.
Not necessarily. No, I think a lot of people go as friends.
Yeah,
to prom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so.
In a sexy dress.
Now, not at this school.
Now let's hope at that school that you don't have to actually take a picture of yourself in it because that's a pricey investment. Those dresses.
Yes, and that's what they actually started a petition saying it wasn't fair because some parents were saying, "Well, we already bought the dress, and now if you don't approve it, we can't take it back." And
what's a prom ticket cost these days? $10?
Ooh, no, it's going to be like $100.
$100?
I bet.
You have to pay to go to prom?
Yes, you have to pay to go to prom. That's,
And some schools, they have them off-site at a fancy hotel or someplace like that. And others, they have it in the gym.
Yes.
Right?
The old gymnasium.
Where the acoustics are awesome in the gym,
yeah,
right?
A big hollow box.
Yeah.
Set up the plastic table, put the punch on top of it.
Yeah, right.
Big punch bowl.
Yeah. And isn't the whole idea? Wasn't the whole idea they get you get all dressed up because when you get all the people together at the prom, if they're dressed up, they're less likely to punch each other.
Yeah, you're saying just because they're wearing nice clothes, they're less likely to get violent.
Yeah, because a lot of times for the guys, especially, they're renting those tuxedos and they want to get their deposit back.
I've never seen prom violence, so I don't know.
Well, you've never been to a prom where they played Pantera.
Apparently
ooh,
not.
No. Yeah, hop in the pit.
No, that's a prom.
I bet at this school, too, because it's a Catholic school, they probably have dance rules where you have to like keep a certain distance between each other when you're dancing.
Yeah.
And if you get too close, they come take the ruler and like separate
so,
you.
So what's the rule? How far?
12 inches.
How far away do you have to be when you twerk?
Twerking is probably not allowed. You probably get kicked out if you start twerking.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. How about kissing?
Oof, I think at a Catholic school that might be a no-no.
No?
Unless it's maybe just like a little peck, but anything else, probably not
okay.
Well,
you can do whatever you want as long as you don't get caught.
Yeah,
yeah true.
If you're behind the bleachers,
you gotta
you're
be careful
all good.
With that kissing, though, Aaron. You might get dog germs.
Dog dreams are good.
What are you talking about?
They are good.
You're freaky.
No, well, a little bit, but no, dog dreams are good, and they say there's actual truth behind this. Studies have linked, well, obviously dog ownership with reduced stress and anxiety and lower blood pressure, but they also say dogs can help your immune system. So go ahead and make out with your dog. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
researchers from University of Arizona are launching a new study to see if bacteria found on pet dogs encourages the growth of beneficial microorganisms in humans.
You know what your dog does? It goes in the backyard, it eats a pile of poo, and then it comes back inside, and then
it wants to make out with you.
It licks itself in places that only a dog can reach.
Yeah.
And then it climbs up on your lap and wants to smooch on your lips and your tongue.
Yeah.
And you're getting all of that, you know.
But you know, they say
previous cuisine.
Even with that, dogs' mouths are cleaner than ours, apparently. They really are.
Well, we're not eating poo.
I know, but we still are dirtier than dogs.
What? How?
Yeah,
why?
I don't know how.
Are the bacteria in our mouths is not as sophisticated as dogs? Because dogs eat anything, like
you
said.
So they have to protective measures.
All kinds of garbage.
So their saliva breaks down all the dangerous bacteria.
Yeah, because
they're efficient at it.
They're too stupid to know they're not supposed to eat something.
Yeah.
They just eat everything that even smells
relatively
like
food. But why is it dogs are smart enough to know that they need to go in the backyard and eat grass when they ate something bad? But then they can't figure out what it was that they ate.
Sometimes I can't figure out what it is that I ate that upsets my stomach.
Yeah, but we don't start eating grass, do we?
No, but we take like Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah.
So
right.
That's their natural version of Pepto-Bismol, I say.
I guess so.
I think we need to get them a natural version of Listerine.
They do have that, actually. You can pour some stuff in their water that has like a minty, fresh
I mean, if you think about it, dogs are about as fascinating an animal as there is.
Yes, they're very.
When you consider all the things that we've done to them. I mean, we've taken essentially a wolf and turned it into a chihuahua.
Chihuahuas are pretty feisty. Yeah. I would tell you.
Yeah. All right. In a completely different topic here, let's U-turn this bus, shall we? In a lot of the world, especially the Arab world, it's not a great place to be a woman because it's a man's world. The men are in charge of everything, and the laws are stacked in the man's favor. And you hear about this all the time, and there's still places where women just, they're not allowed to drive, and if they look at a man funny, somebody's going to start accusing them of something, and who knows what might happen to them, something horrific. And you have a story of a woman who has skirted all of that somehow.
Yes.
By not wearing a skirt.
No, she didn't. An Egyptian woman, she actually dressed like a man for more than 40 years to provide for her family. Apparently,
40 years?
Yeah, apparently her husband passed away in the 70s, leaving her as the sole breadwinner. And she found out it was very hard to get a job because for illiterate women. So she found that if she dressed as a man, it was much easier to find a job. And she started doing brick making and shoe shining, and she altered her appearance so people wouldn't harass her.
Does she have a deep voice?
That it does not say, but she was just honored for all of her hard work, actually, by the president at a ceremony saying that she was awarded the Woman Breadwinner Award by the authorities in her hometown and congratulated in person by the president for doing
that?
What she did.
Excellent. Nice when the president's got your back, but then will the president use this incident as an opportunity to inspire some new law to help with women's rights in that country?
I hope so, yeah. So she can be who she is and not have to hide that to get a job.
Right.
That would be great.
Okay. You know what else was great? There was a TV show that everybody loved, and it had an iconic soundtrack, a little opener theme song that I'm not going to play for you right now, but I will play it for you when we get back. And Chris is going to tell you all about the return of this show and the original cast next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
There's nothing like the beautiful smell of a candle. Find the finest handmade candles at theolivetreecandles.com. You will love the wide variety of soy candles and bath and body items at the Olive Tree Candles. Our candles are also hypoallergenic, so you can rest assured that you can enjoy burning a candle without having an asthma attack. Every time you purchase a candle from the Olive Tree Candles, 10% of the proceeds go to feeding, clothing, and helping integrate the homeless back into society. Visit theolivetreecandles.com.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron Myers and Chris Martin are here. And by the way, earlier in the program, we were talking with the Dream Lady, and her name is Justina Lasley, and it was a pleasure to talk with her. But I think the whole idea of remembering your dreams, how to remember them, she says you have 5 to 6 dreams a night, and do you remember any of them? She gives you some tips on how to do that. We just added her website to our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Just go down to the letter D and look for Dream Synergy and click on that bad boy right there, and you'll be good to go. All right, and fans of a particular TV show that used to be on Fox Television and went away is coming back, Chris.
Yeah, this is a story for all of the fans out there that still want to believe. Fox has announced today they will film a 6-episode special event series of The X-Files. This is a
that's that iconic music. Huh?
Did you like The X-Files?
I watched it a couple of times, but for whatever reason, never got into it. But a couple of my friends and my sister-in-law, a huge X-Files fan.
Right.
Yeah, just loved it. Agent Mulder and
Scully.
And Scully.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, both Agent Mulder and Scully will be in the 6th series. Series.
David Duchovny and what's the lady's name?
Gillian Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Is her name.
Yeah. I love her exercise tapes.
Altogether, the original
different
show
Jillian.
Went
Sorry.
9 series and had 9 seasons, had 2 movies. Both of them pretty successful. Obviously, the 9-season series very successful as well. Though it's been a while. It's been 13 years since X-Files has been broadcast
Whoa.
Anywhere other than on, you know, repeat movie stations.
Wow.
Yeah, they're calling it a 13-year commercial break.
Commercial
it's a long break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I imagine that the whole X-Files thing, the brand, continues to sell. I mean, you see X-Files mm-hmm. T-shirts in stores, and they're probably selling their DVDs like crazy from the episodes. You know, you could probably watch the entire 12 seasons, you say?
9 seasons.
9 seasons?
And 2 movies.
Right, on Netflix and other places. Yeah, and how did the movies do? I didn't see the movies either. Did
they
you?
Did good, yeah. I mean, it certainly made money.
Yeah.
And big money. The group says that it's good timing for a return. They say that the world is stranger than it's ever been, and that's sort of what the series or the show is based around. Mostly alien activities, you know, and
sure.
but also just sort of strange macabre occurrences and
right.
trying to solve those mysteries.
Right. All right. You ready for this?
Yes.
I don't know. What is it?
There's gold in them, their bowel movements.
That's
Is that
you love poop talk.
You know, look at all the TV shows. If people are watching folks in Alaska or wherever it is, and they're diving off their boats and they're looking for gold underwater in the Bering Straits or whatever. You know, it's people love the Gold Rush TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a gold rush in your pants, my friend.
Oh, boy.
A new study found that Americans may be pooping up to $4 billion, with a B, billion dollars worth of gold every year. Now, how is that possible, you say?
Yes.
I haven't a clue, but a professor at Arizona State University did a study on feces from 94 different wastewater treatment plants across the country and found small quantities of 50 different precious metals, including gold, silver, and platinum.
Wow.
Is it in our food? Do you think?
I hope so.
Or is it in our vitamins?
I don't know.
Are we taking Well, when you multiply that across the entire population, we could be pooping out several $1 billion worth of precious metals every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now the U.S. Geological Survey is leading a study to see if it is possible to extract those metals, which would be good for the environment in 2 ways. It would reduce the need for mining and make our poop safer as a fertilizer.
Yeah, sure, no problem. You just get in there and you pan it, you know?
Yeah,
run it down a chute, you know?
It's already running down
Purify
a chute.
Purify it. You gotta puree it, run it down a chute.
Puree
Everybody
it
just
poop.
Gets at the end of it like you do at the old California Gold Rush.
Yeah.
You grab your pans and you just start panning.
Grab your what?
The liquid mush.
Oh, your pans.
Yeah, your pans.
All right.
You know, your gold pans.
Right. Are people going to be in favor of this? It'll be like poop fracking.
Swirl it around.
Yeah.
Wait until you see the flecks of gold at the bottom. And
you guys
you
have
know,
too many thoughts
save it
on
in
this.
A jar.
Yeah.
It's a
now,
disturbing.
More importantly, why is there gold in our poop? This is the important part.
Too much gold, Slogger.
No one's 100% sure. The best theory is that tiny amounts get into our system through things like hair products, detergents, and cosmetics. Then our digestive system concentrates them together, and sadly, one individual person is only producing a very small amount. So please, our recommendation is do not start prospecting in your toilet in hopes of striking it rich.
Oof.
Okay. Yeah, you won't have to worry
Chris,
about that happening.
Your hopes are dashed now.
Yeah, no.
All right, fine. Now, what happens to your poop if you're eating a Taco Bell for breakfast, Aaron?
Well, you might find more gold.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, they have a new breakfast thing they're going to offer.
Yeah.
It's the biscuit taco.
The biscuit taco.
Yes, they're getting rid of the waffle taco, and they're bringing in
Selling well?
I guess it's not. But they're bringing in the biscuit taco, and yeah, it's a biscuit, and it looks like it has chicken inside.
Yeah.
With honey, jalapeno honey on top of it.
Jalapeno honey?
Yes. So we'll see how it does.
Well,
I don't know.
You got to have honey with a biscuit. Is that what they're thinking?
Yes.
That does not sound like breakfast food.
It's a warm, fluffy, buttery biscuit folded into the shape of a taco. And you can fill it with many options. Egg, sausage, cheese, deep fried chicken, and jalapeno honey sauce.
All right.
How big is a biscuit? Their biscuits aren't very big. Is that going to be
these are taco-shaped biscuits. So, I mean, I'm
hoping. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a value for your dollar? You know how it is. You want to get as much taco as you can down your gullet. Isn't that right, Chris?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a try. It sounds interesting to me. Nothing at Taco Bell is expensive, Phil.
True, but the whole biscuit thing throws me for a loop because typically a biscuit, I mean, you make a ring with your fingers.
Yeah.
And that's about how big a biscuit
maybe,
is.
Maybe
and
they
tend to be dry,
know.
Too. You could choke on those. Are they teaching people how to do the Heimlich maneuver at Taco Bell?
Well,
they should.
This says warm and fluffy and buttery, so hopefully
yeah, I don't know who's making
be,
your biscuits, yeah. Phil, but
well, no,
you got robbed on the biscuit front.
I know, there can be some
I'm
delicious
I'm talking about
biscuits.
Biscuits at restaurants tend to be the kind that you're going to get, from time to time, you're going to get a hard one or a dry one, and you're going to choke on it. Yeah. Biscuits mean danger, unless you're making them yourself. I will say that my wife is a tremendous cook and a tremendous baker, and if she bakes biscuits, they will be the kind that will be like heaven on earth.
Light and fluffy and warm, mm-hmm. just
exactly.
waiting for some butter
yeah.
and honey.
Yes.
Can I have another 12 of those, please?
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, did you ever babysit when you were a kid, Chris?
I did, yeah.
You did? Mm-hmm. How about you, Aaron? Were you a babysitter?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, but just think of the joy on the look of that young child, probably a boy, who couldn't wait for you to show up to be his babysitter.
Oh, they were little kids. I think that's why it was so traumatic. They were like 2 1/2 and under.
Oh, so you're changing diapers.
Oh, yeah. I was watching 3 of them at like 4 a.m. in high school.
And pulling in the big bucks, right?
Oh, no.
No? How much?
I don't remember, actually.
Not a lot.
I think because it was early in the morning, they did pay me a right because I did have to get up.
You do get access to all the food in their cabinets, though.
Yeah.
And, so there's that.
And the DVD collection.
No, most mm-hmm. of the food ended up in my hair.
Yeah.
And,
the
feeding them
and these days, the internet connection. But you know what? Babysitting has gotten so lucrative, your kid could really be cashing in. If only he wasn't a delinquent who can't be trusted to keep a plant alive for 3 hours, right? I mean, generally that's the case. But a new survey by the website care.com found the average babysitter today gets $13.50 an hour.
Wow.
And that's way up from $10.50 just an hour just 5 years ago.
That's pretty good.
More than minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Well above it at the mm-hmm. moment. The survey also found that 26% of people give their sitters an extra tip on top of their hourly rate. And all of that means it's a strong market for good babysitters to cash in.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Don't you want responsible people watching your children?
No.
And that comes at a cost. You don't care?
<Just kidding. laughs>
But, I mean,
yes.
Think about it. $13.50 an hour. If you're babysit for 5 hours, that's 50. That's is that $75?
Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
A little bit short of that, but yeah.
It's not $75.
It's just short of it. 15 times 5 is 75.
It's 57.50 or 56.50, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to figure out.
Yeah.
It's making my brain explode. Then you get a yeah. tip. So maybe you babysit for 5 hours and you leave with the $100.
It's a good gig.
It's like $65.
And let's face it, if you're babysitting at night and the kids are young, you put them away for the nap and you sit on the couch and you watch TV and you text your boyfriend. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Don't invite them over because you could get in trouble for that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's babysitting.
I never did that.
There are those parents, too, that are like, hey, listen, while you're here and if the kids are sleeping, why don't you just mop the floor and, you know what, why don't you dust the shelves?
That's extra pay
yeah.
in
right.
my book.
Yeah. You have to sit down and negotiate with them.
But it's tricky when you go from when you're maybe not mature enough to be a responsible babysitter, because you want to be, you got to be grown up. You got to think as a responsible adult. And grown-ups wish that you would become a grown-up sooner in some cases. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, well, what grown-ups are doing is they're realizing that there's a new potential market out there. We call them millennials, and I guess that just is for the people that were born around the 2000 era, right? Or just short of that.
They're slackers.
Well, some people call them slackers, some call them millennials. There's a company now called Society of Grown-Ups, and they're targeting the millennial crowd. Young adults have been unleashed on the world, and they're looking for sound financial advice because survey after survey shows that young adults do not trust the wealth management industry. So, Society of Grown Adults was started by Mass Mutual, and they saw this opportunity for a niche market, and they're jumping in. They're just offering all this consultation a la carte, so you pay for a consultation on a one-off basis.
Mm-hmm.
No membership fees, no nothing like that.
Wow.
They don't even try to sell you anything, not even from Mass Mutual.
How about that?
Yeah.
Grown adults helping the kids be adults. Hey, we are, in our next segment, are going to throw caution to the wind, because on a good day, it's all right, never mind. But Gary Warner, our travel guy, is on the road. He's traveling, and we will check in with wherever he is next. It's a top secret here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that and consider you a friend for doing so. It's all it takes, pretty much. And now it's time to play Where in the World is Our Travel Guy, Gary Warner?
And not quite where I want to be at.
No? Where exactly are you?
Well, right now I was hoping to be overlooking the Columbia River and waxing poetic about the Pacific Northwest, but an hour late on my JetBlue flight, so I'm here in baggage claim.
Oh.
It's a beautiful spot.
Which airport?
PDX, Portland International.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, got my bags, though. They're all here.
You're not that far from the Columbia River there in Portland, are you?
No. And I've got 2 weeks up here, so I'll have a lot of time to see a lot of different stuff. So right now it's the grand vistas of the baggage claim area.
Yeah, okay, fine. So if you won't be seeing the Columbia River right away, since you're not far from the gorge, so you're flying to another spot. Where to from
here?
No,
actually we're going to drive on down. My son and I are going to pick up a car. We're driving down to the Willamette Valley, down to the Eugene Corvallis area.
Oh.
And then we're probably going to work our way up the coast and go up and see Mount St. Helens, depending on whether the usual torrential rain is coming down or not.
I've got a jar of ash from the eruption of Mount St. Helens in my garage. It's just like a peanut butter jar, and it's full of ash from Mount St. Helens, thanks to my my brother-in-law, who's from the Oregon area.
Yeah. That was a monster event up here, they still talk about it, and they talk about what might happen if one of the other ones, Hood or Rainier, especially Rainier, blows.
You know, talk about that whole area there with all the mountains. They're all beautiful, but they're all volcanoes. And then that Columbia River Gorge. If you haven't been there, it is really a beautiful place, isn't it?
It's absolutely gorgeous. This whole area. You know, we came in from California, and about halfway up the California coastline, hit just a blanket of clouds, nothing but clouds all the way up, and then we descend down through these clouds, and it's like emerald everywhere. It looks like Ireland or the Amish country in Lancaster. Everything's green with small farms, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, there is a lot of rain up here, but that makes everything green and grow. The volcanic land means that it's outstanding farmland. That's why all those people came across the plains and, you know, handle the bows and arrows and everything like that to get here.
Yeah.
Because you can make great, great food here, fruits and orchards and that kind of stuff.
But now you travel up either side of the Columbia River, and there's so many wonderful things to see, including some interesting waterfalls. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. There's some gorgeous waterfalls. And plus, you know, you have during the 1930s, some of the dams and the parks they built along the vistas there. So it's really a been made a highlight drive on both sides. Some people like the Oregon side, some people like the Washington side. You can just do a big old long loop down to an area called the, I think it's called, pronounced the Dalles, and come back on up and just see this really. The thing that's amazing about the Columbia River as opposed to like the Missouri or the Mississippi is it really thunders through some of these areas. This is not a, you know, a slow meandering river. This is a powerful river that has hewn this gorge.
Yeah, and it's 100 yards wide in a lot of places, too,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. And then it goes all the way down to Astoria, which is one of the oldest cities in the United States. That's where John Jacob Astor set up his beaver hunting area up there, and he did that because that's where Lewis and Clark finally reached the Pacific, is out there at Fort Clatsop near Astoria.
Mm-hmm. I've done the Oregon side. I've done the loop. I went to the Multnomah Falls, and then went on from there and went up to a lodge. And I want to say, is it Mount Hood up there on the Oregon side? And there's a beautiful lodge there.
Yeah, Timberline Lodge.
Now, exactly, Hood, that's the one.
Mount Hood is not a national park. It probably could be, but it's not. But it has an amazing lodge that was built, again, during the Works Project Administration period of the Depression, called Timberline Lodge, that some people might remember as the exterior of the hotel in The Shining.
Oh, yeah. It's scary looking for sure.
Yeah, because they get a lot of snow up there, and Stanley Kubrick didn't like the amount of snow that the original hotel, which is up in the Rockies, got. So he came out here so he could get that claustrophobic look of, you know, blood on snow and things like that.
But it's really special on the inside, too. And if you can get inside the main dining room and have some lunch or some dinner there, like many of the lodges, they've got a top flight chef running the crew.
Yeah.
And the meal is just spectacular. And we were able to get in. We waited for about an hour. And they flush everybody out, and they bring the next people in for the lunch, and we had ours, and it was just amazing. And the view is wonderful, and the whole thing is just made of logs. It's like a giant log cabin, really.
Everything is groove and tongue fit together. The amazing thing about the Timberline Lodge is almost everything there is one of a kind, handmade. This is not machine made stuff. These are these out of work craftsmen who were brought from around the country and were just put to work on making just something that is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's just an absolutely gorgeous place. My favorite thing, actually, in the dining room, Phil, is they have, as a kid, they had a French toast log where they would take a little loaf of bread and they would saw it off. And so it made it look like a log that had gone through a timber mill, and then they would deep fry that. And that was, you know, that's my culinary
experience. Deep fried French toast. I am so there.
Good stuff. Yeah. But that shows you that, you know, you got the mountains, you got the river. It's a short drive down to the sea, and places like Cannon Beach where you can get out these little three-wheelers that have a sail on them and go scooting across the sand. The Willamette Valley, spring's coming. It's a great time for all the truck farms are bringing in their strawberries and blueberries. You don't even have to go. There's a place across the way from the Portland Science Museum where you can just go and pick wild blackberries right off the vine there. You know, it's not anything special. They're just there because there's just so much stuff here.
Yeah. All right. So we've got river, we've got beach, we've got meadows, we've got waterfalls, we've got mountains, and some of those mountains might erupt while you're there if you're lucky. And then that's just on the Oregon side. You go over on the Washington side, and it's you go over that. What's that special bridge that they pay a buck to go over it and only one car at a time?
You know, I'm going to have to beg
you look for
I'll
it.
I'll find it.
On your way up on either the Oregon or the Washington side, there's a bridge, and it's basically caged in, and they only let one car over at a time. And I forget what it is, the Bridge of the Gods or something like that.
Yeah. But wasn't that where they had Galloping Gertie, the one that went across the river, and they didn't do the tests on it, and the winds came up, and it whipped all around and fell into the river?
Oh, yeah, that one?
I have
no idea. None whatsoever.
Go on YouTube and look up Galloping Gertie.
Yeah, all right. Well, it sounds like you're going to have a great time up there.
I'm going to have a great time.
And how long are you staying in the Northwest?
Well, at least 2 weeks and maybe 3 weeks. I haven't had a nice open-ended trip. I don't have a return ticket right now. Ooh. So that's the way I just want it for right now.
So you'll be driving most of the time.
Yep. Gonna drive, and if it's miserable and raining all the time, then I'll come on back. But if I'm having a great time, you know, it's inexpensive up here. I think I'm paying $69 for my 3-star motel tonight.
Hey, nice, lovely,
it'll be great.
Where do you think we'll find you next week?
Let's see. Tuesday next week, I'll probably be down towards the southern end of Oregon, probably down in Eugene, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that. I love the Pacific Northwest.
I'll have more stories to tell.
It's gorgeous. All right. Well, thank you.
Take care of yourself, Bill.
Safe travels, Gary.
Okay.
How about that? Have you been? Have you been to Oregon?
Either
of
you? Once.
Have you?
But I was very little, so I don't remember it very well.
Yeah, I do recommend. I mean, we were talking about it. It was almost like just Gary and I were reminiscing about the good times in the Columbia River Gorge area. But it is really. If you haven't seen it, it's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've been to the coast of Washington, not Oregon.
Yeah. Well, the
very
coast,
beautiful.
The coastline. Northern Oregon and southern Washington, the coastline is just spectacular if you can see those areas. Yeah. Near the river, once again. All right, up next here on the program, and you will not believe it, but they're finally doing something about those insidious little one cup of coffee things. What are they called? The K-cups? They're made out of plastic. You have your cup of coffee and you toss them in the wastebasket and they go into the landfill where they live for a million years. And it always amazed me that these K-cups were considered a good idea. They sold like hotcakes. But finally, they're doing something about it. And Chris is going to tell us about it when we return here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Never miss a single episode of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Subscribe. Receive the program in your email inbox. Just go to any page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Look at the right side column. You'll see the words, never miss a show. Type in your name, your email address, click the little subscribe thing, and you're in like Flint. Another old guy reference there. Who says that anymore?
I think it's Flynn.
Is it Flynn?
Yeah.
It's not Flint?
No. Okay. Flint is what you use to start a fire when you're in Boy Scouts.
But it was a guy named Flint.
Yeah, I think his name was Flynn. We'd have to check with Mike Stark. He's usually the master when it comes to
there
that.
No, what was the guy named? Our man Flint. Yeah. Who was it? James Coburn? Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I always heard in like Flynn. You know, because Flint doesn't really rhyme with in.
Get the wax out of your ears.
No, it doesn't rhyme.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
well, sure. It doesn't.
In and Flynn rhyme, and then and Flynn.
Life isn't often that simple, where it has to just rhyme. It just may be,
I want everything to be musical.
Do you?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, fine. Okay, so are you with me on these K-cups? They just seem like an enormous waste. Like, okay, fine, we're a throwaway society. We will have a paper plate or a styrofoam cup and have a quick drink. Or, you know, you have a little buffet line at your house at a party and the kids, they pile it up real big and they take a couple of bites and the mom and dad throw it away. Throw all the food away because the kids can't sit still for 2 minutes. They got to go run around like a banshee.
Yeah, it's wasteful.
There's another old reference. What is it? Banshees and Flints. We used to start a fire under their feet.
I think it's Banshees.
Banshee? Banshees Lounge. You ever have one of those? All right, so anyway, we're getting off the point. The K-Cups, they're wasteful. So now, what are they doing to improve that situation? Because sales have been down when people realize, hey, this is a big waste.
Well, and there's a couple of reasons that sales have been down. I'll give you the first one, which isn't because of waste necessarily. Keurig just released their new 2.0 version, which was supposed to be like the next George Foreman grill, and everybody was going to get one.
Yeah.
The problem is to buy the new model, you also had to buy new modified cups that fit inside the coffee maker.
Oh, great.
So there was a backlash on this, sort of like iPod releasing new product and then saying, yeah, but you need all new cords and connectors and everything else.
Yes. That's so maddening.
Like that. Now, as far as the problem with their environmental issues, which because of the fact that none of their cups were recyclable, Keurig is offering new recyclable coffee pods. This is after widespread criticism, even regret from the original inventor of the K-Cups, because, look, it's bad for the environment to create something that piles up, like you said, Phil,
yeah,
and cannot be recycled or reused.
Yeah, right. Okay. They call them coffee pods?
Yeah, they do. These ones are actually called K-Mug pods.
Oh.
They're made of polypropylene plastic.
Yeah.
And they can be separated from the lid and filter for recycling. So they're not made of recycled material, but they can be put into the recycled box.
So there's, it's like a number two plastic, number three or something like that, where they can, you know, put it in the right bin and recycle it and turn it into something else.
Yeah, and you get like 1/10 of a penny for each cup that you recycle.
Yeah, that's right. But if you recycle enough of them, you might be able to make a heart valve for somebody.
Mm. Yeah.
Or you could buy a new little cake cup.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Keurig does claim that all versions of their machines will be recyclable, of their cups, I should say, will be recyclable by 2020.
There are better ways in this world to make money than recycling plastic. And you might just have a bunch of stuff in your attic that people, crazy people, let's admit, are willing to pay way too much money for. And Aaron, you have perhaps the best example ever.
Yes, because I actually had a lot of these growing up. Dolls, those ones that are kind of scary looking.
Oh.
You know, the eyes that follow you. Well, apparently, the online trade of haunted dolls is something that you're going to see on eBay nowadays. And they have like these weird, you know, let me say what one of them said. I'll read a little bit of this to you. It was an eBay ad, and it's this little redheaded doll, and it says, "Nasty, perverse, possessed doll, experienced adult collectors only." So people are going out there saying these dolls are haunted and that you must be able to deal with them because they're creepy and they...
And they have a history?
They have a history. They go from room to room, or you might find them like watching you, or it'll be in a different place. So you have to be able to handle these crazy, creepy dolls. And people are actually buying them. And this little redheaded doll sold for $1,500 on eBay.
Wow.
Yes.
Really? And it's got the little plug in here on the scalp where you could see where the, you know...
Probably. Right, yeah. I mean, the doll doesn't look that scary, but I mean, the description... I would not want this doll.
See, my girls, they all had the Barbies and they had the Disney princess dolls.
Yes.
And now the Disney princesses, I'm convinced, are evil because all of the princes who came along with them, because they had those dolls as well, are at this stage of the game headless. They've all lost their heads. We don't know where their heads are, but all the princes don't have heads. And I blame those Disney princess dolls, and that makes them evil and haunted as well. Yeah. Do you think the Disney princesses are already worth some money? Yeah. Maybe they're worth a premium because of their evil nature.
If they're possessed, they might be. Yep. So if you have those old dolls in your attic, I would go look and
possessed
see.
Possessed Pocahontas.
Yep. If they watch you when you're walking by,
mm-hmm.
they move like they were sitting here 1 minute and the next minute they're sitting over there.
Yeah.
You might have some money on
like
your hands.
Like that creepy little elf on the shelf.
Yes.
That shifty little doll.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Furby. Just what are you looking at? Furby.
Right.
I just smacked my Furby right off the shelf and he's laying on his back. Flailing around with those ears. Remember the ears used to flail?
Yeah, and he had a bird beak for some reason.
And then it said, "Try that again, big guy."
Oh, yeah. That qualifies as a
creepy.
Doll.
Creepy stuff.
Yes.
You know what else is creepy? The people are getting ISIS tattoos.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Not a good move, right?
No.
Get you in trouble. A guy in New York heard his coworkers at Home Depot talking about the terrorist group ISIS earlier this month, so he showed them his ISIS tattoo. It's on the inside of his bottom lip. So, you know, grab on with two fists, pull the lip down, and show them your ISIS tattoo. And that's what he was doing there. He got fired promptly because people were saying, okay, they're terrorists, so they're going to call the authorities. But the problem is they find out later, the boss did, after he fired this guy for having an ISIS tattoo, that ISIS was, in fact, not the terrorist group, but the name of this guy's ex-girlfriend.
Hmm.
And he had her name tattooed. Don't get your girlfriend's name tattooed on your body. Can we? Can
no,
we just? Can we make that
well.
A rule? Because you're going to have a tattoo of your ex sooner or later.
Yes, and then the new girl comes, and that's just going to be an issue. You have problems.
Right.
I think this is more about not getting a tattoo on the inside of your
lip.
That
hurts.
Is
yeah,
it?
That is a weird spot.
It is strange. I mean, why would you do that? And he doesn't even look like a tough guy.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Tough guy.
You get it on your arm, you pansy.
Yeah. Right. And don't get a license. Don't get a license plate that says "I love" and then insert name of boyfriend or girlfriend on your license plate. I mean, it's right.
Well, at least that's replaceable or fixable.
Yes,
you know,
it's not permanent.
No, it's not. But you know what? What I love, the peanut butter cups, peanut butter
they're
chocolate.
Good.
Do you like those?
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. You know, I'm not a big dessert guy, but...
Well, that's not a dessert. That's just, you know, before you have your sandwich, you can grab one of those peanut butter and chocolate cups, and you're good to go for a bit, and you can hold off on the sandwich for a minute. But it's hard for me because of the size. I don't know about you, but I could eat three or four of those.
Yeah, it's...
If they would just make them a little bigger, Chris.
This one would definitely stop you from eating three or four of them because...
What one?
There is a Reese's... Well, I can't call it Reese's, but there's a chocolate peanut butter cup that has just broken the world record for the largest chocolate peanut butter cup ever made. It's 440 pounds of
That's
chocolate and peanut
gigantic.
Butter.
Wow, I could put a dent in that.
It's like, imagine, about 8 foot around... So
wow.
8 foot in diameter.
I don't know. I'm tempted to just dive in.
Yeah, that could be cool. Like you could eat through the middle and then make it a house.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's
you
like
can
8 inches
a chocolate
thick.
Peanut butter cup.
Yeah, it's not quite big enough to make it a house, but it is big enough to feed a family of probably 10 for a week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that
then
may,
go to the dentist.
All
afterwards.
May not be a nutritious meal for a family. But would
Cavities. Would you
dive in there and make yourself a little peanut butter angel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a snow angel.
Yes.
Right.
Chocolate peanut butter cup.
You could do
angel.
That with an 8 foot. It's like the size.
You
of...
could if you want the people that made it to beat you up. You know how much effort went into making a 440
well, what are they
going
to do with it? You have to eat it. What are they going to do with it? Let it melt?
Yeah.
Or...
Well, I don't know what they're going to do with it at this point. I'm assuming you eat it.
Yeah.
But you can't eat it when somebody's done a chocolate angel
not.
In it.
Maybe
is there
not.
A better combination? I mean, there's lemon lime. What else is there? The combination of things where you come up with something.
Peanut
chocolate
butter
and
jelly.
Peas and carrots.
Chocolate and peanut butter is probably the best combination of flavors ever, don't you think?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's up there. It's not quite as good as mayonnaise and mashed potatoes, but
yeah. Hey, there was a you know, you eat a lot of stuff like that and you're gonna gain some weight, and there's a 22-year-old guy in Brooklyn. He lost 270 pounds in the past 6 years. He might have had one of those gastric bypass things, but anyway, when you do that and all of a sudden you're walking around in this giant skin bag, right? And he recently posted photos of himself and encouraged people to love themselves no matter what. And he was holding up his skin, basically, because he's in a giant human skin bag. Now, more than 2,300 people have donated more than $56,000 so he can have that extra skin surgically removed.
Wow.
How about that? People are just good. They want to come to folks' aid.
That's nice.
And help people out. I like that. All right, there's so much goes into this program, and I want to thank our executive producer, Mike Stark, and our producer, Brooke Peterson, for all the work they do, as well as our production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson, and we can't wait to talk with you next time. Leave us some comments on the website. Talk to you next time here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.